We'll synthesize the January 14, 2011 edition of the Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Amy Ivona with this Rain Report. Trivia question. Who earned his Tech Class ham radio license in 2000, was first appointed EC, Emergency Coordinator for Prince William County, Virginia a year later. Began writing for the Linux Journal in 2007, and spearheaded the Linux Journal's January 2010 issue that was devoted to ham radio. He's David Lane, KG4GIY. For the uninitiated, the Linux Journal is a computer magazine that deals with the ins and outs of the Linux operating platform. As just mentioned, a year ago ham radio was spotlighted in their January 2010 issue. David Lane is a member of the Linux Journal's editorial advisory board today. Strangely enough, David did not become a ham until the year 2000. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke to David about his ham radio roots.
It's kind of interesting because it was a collision of ideas. I have always been interested in communications and radios. I had a Coleco CB40 growing. I was always interested in radios. And growing up in Canada, I was always wondering what those funny plates were that started VE3 something. Even as a scout, we didn't have an amateur radio Jota type arrangement. But when I was a scout in Canada, we had a radio badge just like they have down here. And I always wanted to get it, but we never had a group to help me mentor it. I didn't have an Elmer. Just kind of put it in the back of my mind, went off, worked on computers, and grew up as most folks do. And I was down at my father-in-law's house in Florida, 98, 99, and he had a couple of issues of QST. And I didn't know what QST was, and really was just killing a little bit of time while I was waiting for everybody to get ready to go somewhere. So I started flipping through it. So I asked him about it because there were some articles in there. I can't remember which one caught my attention, but I found it quite fascinating. I believe it was on APRS, in fact, because as a geographer, I was interested in anything that had to do with geography.
How old were you at the time?
33, something like that. Yeah, I'm only 43 now, so I haven't aged that much. But yeah, I came into the hobby late in life. It turns out my father-in-law is an amateur, and he was very happy to have someone to talk to about it. So he started telling me about the hobby, and I was reading QST, and I said, well, how hard is it to get started? And he said, it's not very hard, and I found the Leeds website when I came back to Washington and ordered the book, Now You're Talking, and basically went out and passed the test, became a technician. I'd like to say I passed it my first time through, but I didn't. I flunked my first technician test. But I did pass it on the second go-around, and they came out and said, congratulations, welcome to the community. You'll have your call sign in a couple of weeks. That's all she wrote. From there, I got involved with the league. I was one of those go-getters. I went out. I sent my money to the league. I went to the league website. I signed up. I did all the stuff energetic new amateurs do. And one of the things I actually signed up for was this new program they'd started called the Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Course. I signed up. This sounds like a great course because I was really interested in the whole ARES concept and emergency communications. Well, it turns out that this AREC course was brand spanking new, and I was one of the first students to take it. My mentor at the time, Ron Hashiro, whose call sign I forget, it's a KH6, but he's out in Hawaii, was one of the founding fathers of the program. I loved the course tremendously. I said, Ron, how do I get to do what you do? How do I get to mentor other amateurs in the AREC program? And he said, that's the type of person we're looking for. Pass my name over to the league. And the next thing I know, I was an AREC mentor with a brand spanking new amateur license. I guess I've had about 300 people come through me as a mentor and get their AREC levels. That's sort of one aspect of my hobby. The other aspect is the EC's position, which is kind of funny. Here in Virginia, we had what we like to sometimes call the Third Battle of Manassas, or the Great Unpleasantness. And I don't want to go into it because it really outside of Virginia isn't worth discussing. But there was some political upheaval here, and the EC for Prince William County had decided he'd had enough and was ready to retire and leave the area and was looking for somebody to take over. And I put my hand up and said, am I qualified to do the job? He said, that's half the qualification right there. Anyway, long story short, I was appointed emergency coordinator for Prince William County in April of 2001. Needless to say, was baptized under fire very shortly thereafter. And I've been the emergency coordinator ever since, and I think built up our cadre into, if not nationally recognized one, certainly one that is very professional in its approach. A number of amateurs that have come back to me, either as students or have found my website through various Google searches, have come back to me and said, we like what you're doing on the website. Can I steal that piece? Or I like that quick reference guide. Can I borrow that? Or how did you set up these training materials? Can I bend your ear on that? Over the last 10 years or so, I've developed a little bit of a following where folks come and ask me for help, and I'm more than willing to give it to them. So there you go. That's the whole history in a nutshell.
How does your approach to what you do in amateur radio change with 9/11?
It really didn't change. I really had not been in the hobby long enough to have had any sort of preconceived notions of what the hobby should be. I have always been interested in serving my community. So in that regard, it really was a no-brainer that Aries was, to me, a very important aspect of serving my community. And I'm fortunate enough to be living in a county that recognizes that as well-built as the radio infrastructure is in this county, and it was built by some rather notable names, as well-built as it is, they recognize that the system will be overloaded, that volunteers such as Aries people can be utilized effectively and efficiently if they're made part of the system and integrated into it. So I really don't think that my perception has changed at all. It's just very much a part of what I do, and I recognize it as a community service, and that happens to be what I do.
You're listening to the Ham Radio Roots of David Lane, KG4, GIY, EC of Prince William County, Virginia, and a member of the Linux Journal Editorial Advisory Board. Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, will conclude his conversation with David in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available as an MP3 download and podcast 24/7 from therainreport.com.
How did you get involved in writing?
In early 2000, I was laid off. I also had a new daughter. And I found that I had a lot of time to read the newspaper, which before that, I really hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to the newspaper. And I would read these letters to the editor, and I would read these stories, and I would just go ballistic. And not having any adult around to talk to, I'd start yelling at the newspaper. Well, that would get my daughter crying, and that, of course, would be a bad thing, because then I'd have to, you know, bounce around my knee and shush her and tell her that Daddy wasn't yelling at her. Daddy was yelling at the newspaper. I found that yelling at the newspaper was counterproductive because it made my daughter cry. For another thing, it really didn't make me feel any better. So I had discovered this great tool called Radio Userland, which is an early blog sphere. And at the time, blogging was, you know, a relatively new concept. There weren't a lot of people doing it. I would find articles that would bug the heck out of me, and I would just bang out my responses like a letter to the editor. And it made me feel better to have them out there. Some days I'd do two or three of these things. Some days I wouldn't do any. Unlike a lot of bloggers, I didn't really do it for recognition or to make money or any of that sort of thing. I just did it when I had something I felt I had to say. To this day, I maintain a personal blog, and I still sit down and I fire off whatever random thought comes into my head. And sometimes it's grammatically correct, and sometimes it isn't. And I get it out of my system, and I feel better. In the process, I wrote a blog about IPv6 and Verizon, my initial struggles with trying to get an IPv6 address for my house, and Verizon's level one folks sort of looking at me like I had six heads. Anyway, I wrote this blog up, and at the time I was part of the editorial advisory board at the Linux Journal. We have an underground email reflector, and I took this blog and I put it to the reflector. I said, I don't know if I'm the only one having this problem, but here's what I've been having, and I dumped it out there. Carly Fairchild, who had just taken over the publishing duties, said, I like this. Can we post this? Like, sure, go ahead. Knock yourselves out. And that really was sort of my first post to the Linux Journal. This was, I guess, 3 years ago now. And then as they were redoing the site, they said, we're looking for some people to be bloggers who'd like to do it. And, of course, I put up my hand and said, sure, I'll do it. What's involved? Not what's involved, I'll think about it, but sure, I'll do it. Tell me what I have to do, which many people have said is my downfall. But I said, sure, I'll do it. And they said, well, we'd like you to do two or three a month as time permits on Linux and whatever you want to talk about. Really no editorial restrictions. So I wrote the first couple up, and I actually sent them in and said, is this kind of what you're looking for? And they said, it's exactly what we're looking for. And I've been doing that now, I guess, a little over a year and a half. I tend to write about Linux in the enterprise or Linux in business because a number of our readers at the Linux Journal tend to be rather fanatical about Linux but don't have a lot of experience in an enterprise environment where you have heterogeneous infrastructures and heterogeneous operating systems, and it's not enough to say, we're using just this one operating system. Having the scars and slings and arrows of unrighteous foes buried in my back, I know what the issues are, and I try to sort of spark the interest of the community to recognize that these are real issues and they really need to be addressed. From there, I have gone on and done other things. I also write general stuff for what I like to consider mental therapy. I was getting a little stressed at one point in my life, and I sat down and I just started writing a story. So I will write now as much as therapy as anything else.
Where do people go to find your blog?
We can plug the Linux Journal, and it's at thelinuxjournal.com. It's on the front page, so you can find a variety of things there that will intrigue, will inspire, and will occasionally frustrate you. And those are all related to open source. My stuff related to whatever happens to cross my minds is at musings-from-the-back-room.blogspot.com. musings-from-the-back-room.blogspot.com.
Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, speaking with David Lane, KG4GIY, who earned his Tech Class Ham Radio license in 2000, has served as EC Emergency Coordinator for Prince William County, Virginia, since 2001. Began writing for the Linux Journal in 2007, is a member of the Linux Journal's editorial advisory board today, and was the driving force behind the Linux Journal's January 2010 issue that featured ham radio throughout. You can hear our January 2010 interview with David talking about that issue on the RAIN archives page on therainreport.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990, 2011, RAIN. All rights reserved. I'm Amy Ivona, encouraging you to follow RAIN on Twitter, www.twitter.com/therainreport. 73 On behalf of everyone connected with RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.